Vámonos lá. Oh, bye to what about 20 players on trade deadline?
I think there was thereabouts. I think a few teams are saying bye to some of their players. It's a very interesting trade deadline.
Well, welcome to the Final Play Podcast. This week talking about NBA. A lot of it will be dominated by the wacky trade deadline. There's a lot of wacky trades that happen and a lot of good trades that happen, but yeah, there's a lot of trades that happen on the deadline, like it generally does. But this, I don't know, this season compared to a few seasons, has sort of been a bit more trade heavy than other seasons. I think other seasons would be a bit more free agent heavy.
Yeah, there wasn't the gigantic superstar sort of trade, which everybody sort of clamors for, I guess. You know, they want the super big names to be moved, or you know, the superstar that's on a fledgling team that goes to a title contender, which really didn't happen. But I think a few, you know, sort of playoff implication changing moves that could make some playoff teams a little bit stronger, and obviously teams like Golden State that are investing in the future. So
let's start with the Golden State.
Well, yeah, might as well. So Andrew Wiggins, I guess that, I don't know, is he one of the more bigger names, I guess? Maybe not names, but bigger contracts, I guess.
I think the two guys that got traded in that trade, I think, were probably nearly up there with the biggest names, I think, on deadline.
Yeah, no, well, D'Angelo Russell is an all-star. Well, he's an all-star last year. So, who got the better of that deal? So the Golden State Warriors got Andrew Wiggins, top three, so yeah, that's a pretty limited protection for 2021, and also a 2021 second
and a couple of sort of bargain basement players went the other way to the Timberwolves, but
D'Angelo Russell was obviously the bigger name there, like, you know, Omri Spellman and Jacob Evans aren't going to be, you know, big names in amongst that, but you know, Minnesota pretty much turned over half their roster in this trade deadline that was crazy.
I don't know. With that trade, I don't know how to say who won. Like, I think
Wiggins hasn't been bad the last couple of games.
No, but he's got a pretty heavy contract still. And, you know, this is a guy that's earning 20 to 30 million a year that probably doesn't really deserve to be.
He was one of the earlier ones to get those bigger deals. It was like $140 million. But, so he was one of the first ones to start, you know, the opening bidding on the salary cap exploding, and then all of a sudden, yeah, Andrew Wiggins gets this large contract, and it's like, oof, okay.
And the other aspect, but with Andrew Wiggins, I mean, it's unfortunately Klay Thompson and Steph Curry aren't there, but I think, you know, because he's been real ball dominant because he's probably had no choice, you know, with those three.
I think he's going to fit. I think he's going to fit in well.
Yeah, I do.
He's
going to
be
the
new age Harrison Barnes.
Yes, in that team, I think, and he's a great defender. I think it's close to the Warriors winning not only for the Wiggins but because of that top three pick. Because
that's right.
His chances are the Timberwolves are definitely going to be a lottery pick. There's no question, and probably high, but you know. That doesn't mean anything like in going on past years. So,
no, well, especially
sorry,
this year,
New York Knicks fans, yeah, but anyway.
Yeah, this year just gone. Yeah, that's, I mean, top three protection doesn't really guarantee that much. I don't think too many people thought that Minnesota were going to be this terrible this year. Who's to say they're going to be, if they're going to be a mid-table team next year, then that top three protection's out the window.
Yeah, that's right. So, but on the flip side, I think the Warriors won purely because of that top three pick, and I think Wiggins will complement those big three guys there. on the other side,
he'll be your fourth option, and I think that's
100%.
Yeah, that's right. Andrew Wiggins, he should flourish in that sort of environment. You know, if he can get a decent, yeah, or be more consistent as a catch and shoot player, then yeah, that's right. He's going to get a lot of open looks.
I think even Stephen Kerr admitted when after the D'Angelo Russell trade that he really wasn't going to be sure how to fit him in when they had all the healthy players.
But they had no option.
No. Yeah. They really. I mean, this is a whole. I never liked. You know, this is going back years ago when everybody wins about when. Nobody wins actually. When Chris Paul was going to get traded to the Lakers, and then they put a veto on that. I'm probably more dirty on it, but it, you know, that D'Angelo Russell trade with Kevin Durant, they shouldn't have been allowed to do. I mean, yeah, they're doing it in the rules, but you know, Kevin Durant was technically a free agent. I know they did it in the rules, and he did it as a sign and trade deal. But they basically, it's like saying, oh well, you can't sign me in free agent, you know, up until free agency. To me, then you've missed your chance. I think I'm still dirty because like we should have had Chris Paul.
Another reason too that trade was vetoed as well is because the then New Orleans Hornets were being run by the NBA as well. Mm. So they also had a hand in that. Like they just weren't going to let that fly. Let that happen because the Hornets were essentially going to get nothing back. That's another reason.
I understand that. But
at least they got a little bit back from the Clippers. You know, they got Eric Gordon and a couple of other players, but I think that was the big. Eric Gordon didn't want to be in New Orleans.
He definitely didn't want to be in New Orleans. Although I reckon he had one of his best years there, but anyway.
He did. I think it was the second year he was there. He lit it up there.
One of his best years there. Yeah.
Yeah. And then he was just disinterested. Anyway.
On the other side, D'Angelo Russell is with his buddy, Carl Anthony Towns. I think they're actual, you know, confirmed friends outside the NBA realm. So that might work well for Carl Anthony Towns. I think that they need a lot more. I mean, we can go into.
The next trade that they were involved in.
Yeah, well that was the one of the first sort of trades that, you know, 12 player 14 mega deal that happened where the Houston Rockets acquired the Timberwolves Robert Covington, traded center Clint Capella. They had another center they got rid of.
NA as well. Yeah, they had an NA as well.
As part of a four-team trade that then seen Denver Nuggets picking up Malik Beasley and Juan Hernan Gomez.
Minnesota got Malik Beasley.
Yeah, they got it.
Yeah, Juan Hernan Gomez and Evan Turner. And they also picked up a Hawks first round pick, which is a beauty too, for next year, which comes via New Jersey. New Jersey, they've been in Brooklyn for how long now? The Brooklyn Nets. They got a first round pick from the Hawks. Yeah,
only
because
you're a massive Jason Kidd fan. That's why you keep saying New Jersey.
I just can't grasp this Brooklyn Nets business. But anyway,
With that, and then Jordan, they picked. I think Houston picked up Jordan Bell. That was the other one too.
Jordan Bell, and then they waived him.
Yeah,
I don't know. At least that's a bit of size. Like I don't understand it. Like the only center that they've got on their roster now is Tyson Chandler, and he's about 45 years old.
Just reading more on that. Which I didn't really pick up until recently that Atlanta ended up waiving Chandler Parsons. And he's expiring $25 million contract because they had to recreate a roster space. So,
Which is interesting. He's averaging like 5 points. He's averaging like 5 points and like 11 minutes this year. Like he's just.
I don't know what happened. I think it's interesting for a couple of contending teams. You know, like you know someone like the Lakers and that you know need. You know, obviously now once they clear waivers and all that, you know, he'll only sign bargain basement deals, $2 to $3 million anyway. But
yeah,
who then? I mean, there's a lot of talk being about Houston Rockets and then literally getting rid of every center they have. So they're playing.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, exactly. Well, that's, even now, like since they've played three games since the deadline, and they're like 2-1. Yeah. So and I don't think Tyson Chandler has played 1 minute in any of those games. Like he's their only center on the roster, and he's not the starting center. Like the tallest guy they have on the floor is like 6'6".
Yeah. And their starting center is
PJ Tucker. And the thing is, what you hear and with all the NBA talk and stuff like that, that it's like that sort of thing is going to be good for now, but when you're going up against bigger opponents every single night for the rest of the season, it's going to eventually wear you down. It's just going to, because they are, especially guys like PJ Tucker, they're just going to go after him.
I see this more as a let's see what happens and get to the finals and sort of go from there and then maybe look for a center. I don't think this is surely not a continual thing, because you're exactly right. There's no way PJ Tucker is an aging player. There's really no getting around that. But there's no way he can't keep producing sort of those minutes, not as a small ball anyway.
No, not so much. But I mean, they're going to go after. I mean, they're going to go after him. He's going to have a torrid time every single night.
Yeah. Another trade happened. Miami agreed to trade Dion Waiters, Justice Winslow, and James Johnson to the Grizzlies for Andre Iguodala, who hasn't played a game for the Grizzlies, Solomon Hill, and Jay Crowder. I didn't really say like Miami won or Grizzlies won, because the reason I didn't say Miami won, because Iguodala never played for the Grizzlies, so
no, you don't know what kind of player is he going to be for him. Like I think his game that he played for him, did he have 2 points and 6 rebounds? Mm-hmm. Like it might have been the other way around. Might have been 6 points and 2 rebounds. I really should have wrote that down. But yeah, he's like stat line unimpressive. But there's a lot of people out there that say that he's one of the better defensive minds and that around. Like he brings. Yeah, he brings those intangibles to the squad there. So, him and Jimmy Butler, both pretty much, not so much lockdown defenders, but, really good defenders. But you just, for me, I just don't know what Iguodala is going to do since he hasn't played anything this year. All he's going to be is fresh.
He did end up signing a 2-year, $30 million contract pretty much straight after they agreed to the trade.
Straight up, $30 million, 2 years, 2 year extension, straight away.
I thought Jay Crowder was a decent sort of pickup for the Grizzlies. I know he's getting bounced around to a lot of teams,
for Solomon Hill's just going to sit on the back of the bench.
Yeah.
Jay Crowder he will get meaningful minutes in especially certain games in the playoffs for Miami. Man.
He's a playoff, like when those games at Utah, he is a beast in playoffs.
With Memphis, obviously they've waived Waiters, which is a pretty smart move. James Waiters will be back on Waiters Island before you need. He's probably there right now, actually. Justice Winslow, who you don't hear that much about and was sort of touted fairly big when he come out of Duke University when he was drafted a few years ago. I don't think he hasn't really lived up to the expectations of what they thought he was going to be. I think a lot of people thought he was going to be that scorer, sort of undersized, good rebounder. He's still a good undersized rebounder, but he's turned into a really good defensive player. He's a little limited offensively. And hurt at the moment too. So, once he's back, he should fit in well with a gritty Memphis team.
Young Memphis team that are still sitting eighth and probably will make the eight. I was just sort of looking. There's a few teams that are 3 to 4 games back. I think. Look, if Memphis make the eight, that's. I mean,
Memphis
it's
just
a win
has
already.
Court. All they've got to do is go 500 for the rest of the after the All Star break, and they will make the playoffs.
Well, they're
two games over 500.
they were touted only to win 26 games this season. They've already done that before All-Star break.
I had them and Phoenix as being, yeah, as being bottom feeders in the West, and it hasn't really quite worked out that way.
I've called it a head scratching trade, but the other big name sort of trade, Pistons are trading Andre Drummond to the Cavaliers.
Just bargain basement. Like, how did Detroit not get anything better than John Henson and Brandon Knight? Who Brandon Knight was, again, one of those guys when he came out, when he first came into the NBA, it looked like he was going to be a dynamic player. And just, I think injuries just derailed him.
And the second round pick, you know, for a couple of years away.
I don't. 2023. Well, that's right.
No, correct. I don't know. I don't know what
Detroit is in. Detroit is in full tank mode now.
And I get that, but he's played well for them ever since he's been there. Like,
that's right.
I get they're in full tank mode, but. You know, they surely could have got a little bit more.
Of course, they could. What they got.
And I'm not saying from the Cavs. I'm just saying
whoever showed interest in him, and then it's like a desperate guy going out in the club. Whoever shows first lot of interest in him, they're going to go, yes, let's go.
The problem is,
you know what I mean? Like that they showed interest, and Detroit took the offer.
I think the problem with him and why he probably didn't get a lot was that he's a. He can opt in his final year, so he has a choice. It's not unrestricted. So, and it's only 20 to 30 million anyway. I really don't see him opting in.
27.
I don't see him opting in. I don't. I mean, unless Kevin Love goes, he's not staying at the Cavaliers. There's no way that's happening.
It's a strange lineup too. Like why the Cavs would have done this as well. Like it's a strange. Sort of roster that they've got, you know, with Tristan Thompson, now Andre Drummond, Kevin Love, like they've got sort of an overabundance of sort of big men. Like, yeah, you know, maybe Houston could use one of them.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. They could definitely use one of them. Well, they've got nothing to trade, but sure they could.
They could get rid of one of many guards that they've got, like, you know, just, you know, maybe an Austin Rivers or something like that. You know what I mean? That's a head scratch. Yeah, that's another head scratcher. You know, Houston doing what they're doing at the moment. It's crazy.
What did you think about the Clippers trade? So the LA Clippers, New York Knicks, and the Wizards were in a three-team deal. That's seen both Marcus Morris and Isaiah Thomas go to the Clippers. Jerome Robinson joins the Wizards, and the Knicks receive Mo Harkless and a 2020 first round pick. So,
Figure that one out. Every article that I read, it never said where the 2020 first round pick come from. Does it come from Washington? Does it come from LA? Every article I read, I couldn't find it.
That's actually a really good question.
I read, I couldn't figure out. So, if anybody is out there that can enlighten us. That's big for the Knicks. You might be able to, you know, find out now with your faster internet speeds. do you know what I mean? Like everywhere that I looked, it's like it just didn't say where the 2020 first round pick come from. If it's coming from Washington and it's unprotected, then that's a lottery pick. If it's coming from the Clippers, then it's going to be right at the back end of the first round.
It's actually a Clippers pick.
It's a Clippers pick. So it's not so much a useless pick, but the Knicks can use that as a, you know, they can use that as a trade asset before next year's draft.
Yeah.
And maybe trade up. If they don't get their desired spot, which they obviously didn't this year or this season, and, you know, they're probably going to have around that, you know, sort of top five, top six pick in the lottery again this year, although they did string together four wins in a row, the Knicks, you know, over the past sort of week and a little bit. So, you know, look out.
They might actually, to me, I really hope it is, but it sounds like they're on the way to doing a lot of, like, that to me is a smart trade for the Knicks. It's not like, you know, you have to get rid of Kristaps Porzingis sort of trade. It was a smart trade. with Isaiah Thomas, so he had to end up getting waived because they wouldn't have had no roster spots. But he's what, sorry?
Isaiah Thomas has been waived.
He was averaging 12.2 points this season. Yes, he was playing for the Wizards.
But I think he could have been useful for him.
I think he could be useful at any sort of contending team. Definitely. Then there were the sort of the main trades sort of I had. Is there any other sort of ones that you, I guess, felt that standout? There was a couple.
Not so much a standout, but the only one that I sort of took notice of a little bit was the Kings sending Dwayne Dedman to Atlanta for Jabari Parker and Alex Len. I still have hopes for Jabari Parker. I still think he's a serviceable player, like more than a serviceable player in the league of no defense at the moment, which everybody sort of cracks up about a lot of players that they don't switch well or things like that. It's the NDA at the moment. It's the No Defense Association. It's not the NBA. Like, it's just nobody's playing defense at the moment. So to go on about Jabari Parker and people like when they crap on about James Harden and Carmelo Anthony and players like that, oh, they don't play defense, they don't switch very well. It is what it is. That's the league at the moment. Like that's how a lot of teams go about getting their disadvantages. A lot of it's pick and roll mismatches and things like that. So I still have a little bit of hope for Jabari Parker. He's, for me, sort of in the mold of a Marvin Bagley type player when he's going to play with. So it'll be interesting to see how the Kings mesh those two together, or if they use those pieces to try and get something else. You know, whether trying to accrue draft picks or something like that. So that's the only sort of one that I took a little bit of notice of. There was
One was that I thought, just because the way they were skidding pretty bad, the Sixers acquiring Glenn Robinson and Alec Burke from the Warriors.
Yeah, from the Warriors for three second round picks, which is just, I mean, second round picks they're even more of a hit and miss, than lottery picks. Do you know what I mean?
Just to
segue into failed lottery picks. A couple of things that I'd sort of picked up on. After the buyout market and everything like that happened, Charlotte, which we don't really talk a whole lot about, Michael Jordan's Charlotte Hornets very often, but they finally decided to bite the bullet and buy out Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, who's a former number two pick in the draft. He's only 26, which I sort of didn't realize, but he's been in the league. He's been in the league for like 8 years or 7 years.
Yeah.
His career averages are like 8.5 points and 5 rebounds. Like, talk about a bit of a failed, extremely high, that's a number two pick. So they bought his contract out. He's looking at possibly signing with Dallas. I think that's getting closer and closer to happening. And they also bought out the veteran Marvin Williams as well. To sort of create a couple of roster spots. And he's looking at a veteran's minimum contract of under $1 million. To go to Milwaukee. So, I just sort of thought they were, that was sort of two little interesting buyouts.
Hornets actually doing something smart for once instead
of... Well, that's right. You see, and all they got to do now is buy out that horrendous contract of Nick Batum and sort of just sort of wave him bye-bye-bye started off.
That one I don't think is going to... Yeah, I mean, I'll be very surprised if...
How many DNPs has he got this year? Yeah. He's just sitting on the bench doing nothing. That's great.
We were whinging about Cody Zeller's contract, but he's not playing too bad this season. He's had some decent minutes in that. Batum's. Yeah, I don't know. He was such. I remember how good of a player he was at that small
Portland. At Portland, he was. Yeah, he was. With LaMarcus Aldridge and a young Damian Lillard and guys like that. He was. I think he might have even been on the roster there when Patty Mills was still a trailblazer. We can remember that far ago. Exactly. That's what I mean. Yeah, Nick Batum. Yeah, Nick Batum was very much an up and comer, and then he just went.
Was there any, I guess, teams that you thought like that may sort of trade players that didn't? Like, well, for me was the Spurs. Just they didn't have to get rid of DeMar DeRozan, and they didn't have to get rid of LaMarcus Aldridge. But them not doing anything sort of, I don't know, solidifies my thought on Pop that he doesn't like a rebuild squad.
Don't like to rebuild too much.
He's been a coach that's been blessed with not having to rebuild. He's just been a coach that's been blessed.
So yeah, well, he might be a bit of a novice in that. He's just got to try and remember how to do a rebuild. He's got some young pieces there. You know, Derek White, DeJounte Murray. I think that's the next wave of future Spurs.
Well, he's a great free agent picker. Free agent draft.
Yeah, that's right. Tony Parker was a late rounder. Manu Ginobili was a second rounder. Obviously, it was a no-brainer with Tim Duncan, but you know he gets those serviceable players, and you know then turns them into great players in his system. He's got the eye for talent.
I thought maybe Kevin Love might move too, but you know, especially now Andre Drummond's there, but that didn't happen as well.
I've sort of all got players rather than sort of teams making moves. Like all the rumors that were around, you know, there was a lot of teams sniffing around Drew Holiday. New Orleans sort of shut that down, you know, sort of early on in the process of the deadline coming up. They were taking calls, but not so much taking calls, but I think a lot of people were calling them, and they were just flat out rejecting offers for Drew Holiday. Kuzma, I thought, was another one that, there was a lot of rumors swirling around him.
Yeah, there was. I thought there was big Derek Rose rumors to Lakers going on, and I thought, well, that's where probably Kuzma's going. I'm glad they didn't happen, because then we may as well be like Florida Costanza's, where you get the Boca Vista.
That's right. It's just going to be Del Boca Vista.
Let's just pick up every player except for Anthony Davis. It's over 32.
That's what we keep saying. The fountain of youth is LeBron James is Anthony Davis.
Well, I know. Hopefully, it's Kyle Kuzma too. But
well, that's right. Yeah, that's right. He's even younger.
With all those sort of trades done, I was especially skeptical of Houston Rockets playing small ball, coming up against a giant LA Lakers side that have about four or five 7 foot players.
Yeah, we've got three legit 7 foot. Well, yeah, Anthony Davis is not quite 7 foot, but yeah, they got two legit.
JaVale McGee, 7 footers. Dwight Howard. Yeah, definitely two legit. But Houston won. Houston won at LA 121-111. Which kind of just pissed me off, because it felt like it justified them.
Exactly. It was crazy. But that's, I mean, for me, the criticism of just that game was LA just simply could not or cannot go toe-to-toe rebounding with a team like that.
Correct.
With the dominant guys that they should have on the boards, you know, LeBron James, Anthony Davis, JaVale McGee, Dwight Howard, they should not be going toe-to-toe. They should be out-rebounding those guys by a lot. And just not allowing offensive rebounds at all.
Yeah, yeah. They should just be parked themselves. Obviously, there's 3-second rule, but parked themselves in that key. And should not move. They don't need to. They just got to say, throw the ball high.
Well, that's
we'll
the thing.
Get it.
Yeah, Houston stretches you out well.
That's
the thing. You know, if you don't have the guys that can come out and switch, or you know, defend the perimeter well, which you know, guys like Dwight Howard and JaVale McGee are probably going to chase around guys that are relatively their size in different, you know, obviously against different teams, but they've got to chase guys around like that to around the perimeter. So that's going to be tough for them to match up. Straight away justified what they've done. But like we were saying earlier, like it's going to take its toll on PJ to other the most, I think, on guys like PJ Tucker, because teams that have got the bigger guys are just going to go after him.
Yeah, no, exactly. And they're gonna. I look.
It's gonna wear
him
out.
Shot. It's worth a shot, but I really think they're gonna get caught out come playoff time. They'll make the playoffs, but
yeah. Oh yeah, no, they're gonna make the playoffs. What are they in the 4 seed, 5 seed? I think they're in the 5 seed.
5 seed.
So. Yeah, so that means then they'll be playing what, Utah. So it's just straight away they've got Rudy Gobert.
Yeah. So, that's actually. I'm trying to go through all the centers. Oh yeah, no, Rudy Gobert. So that's a ball, a defensive monster, a block monster. Yeah, no, they're gone.
Yeah, that's, I mean, they could get bounced in the first round, finish in the 5 seed, and yeah, get bounced in the first round. It's just a strange way going, you know, going about things, and a lot of people are sort of saying as well. That D'Antoni's time at the Chad Houston's on the clock.
Oh yeah, I mean, analytics aside, because he's Mr. Analytic himself.
Well, he's Mr. Yeah. Analytics, and he's Mr. Complainy Pants at the moment too. Oh, like, yeah,
it's, yeah.
Man, just the amount of Houston Rockets games that you see on TV, you know, whether it be ESPN, TNT, yeah, the games that we get here in Australia. There's a lot of Houston Rocket games, and it's just, man, it's unbelievable. Like, he just complains about everything.
Like, yeah,
everything. I thought Doc Rivers was Mr. Complainy Pants about, you know, about fouls and calls and turnovers and stuff like that. But man, D'Antoni, he's just nonstop.
I was sort of thinking about it just before we come on. I was thinking about, well, why is he Mr. Complainy Pants? Correct me if I'm wrong, but it feels like it's happened, not all the time, but happened ever since that massive, I think it was goaltending call against Harden when it lost in the game. Man, there's a game, and this is probably a couple of months ago, where there was a goaltending, Harden went up with had the shot. I can't remember who they played, but they got a goaltender against them. And, you know, they argued for ages. No, they didn't do, like, the go and check the game. I think it was late. It was 2 or 3 minutes left, but it cost the Houston the game. But he did not shut up after that game. I'd have to go back and have a look at it, but he did not shut up after that game.
Yeah, it was like a month ago, 6 weeks ago or something. Yeah. Like, it was a little while ago. I do sort of remember vaguely the game, and there was a reason why they couldn't review it.
It was a shit. We both said it was a shitty reason, but it was a shitty reason why they didn't call it it wasn't a goaltending. Something about the dunking and that, or the way he shot it.
It was the Spurs, and the ball went through the net, and it popped back out, and through, they missed it, and they thought that he missed the dunk. Yeah,
that's
the game.
Ever since then, I reckon he's complained a lot more. Ever since then.
That's true. That's true.
Well, he hasn't before. I don't know. It's all coincidental, but
maybe he hasn't let that go yet.
Maybe not. Were there any other games that have stood out for you before we look at some all-star rosters?
Like you said, we're heading into the all-star weekend now as we record this. You know, with the Rising Stars game Friday night, Friday night for America, obviously Saturday for us. I'm a little interested to see if what the New Orleans medical staff say about Zion playing in the All-Star than the Rising Stars game, because he shouldn't be playing on back-to-backs. And New Orleans played Oklahoma City on. It was Friday for us, so it would have been Thursday night over there. It was one of the two games that was on TNT. Oh, sorry, that game wasn't, but the TNT game. There was only two games the night before the Rising Stars game. One of them was New Orleans and Oklahoma City. Zion had a pretty big game. He had 32 points in 31 minutes. So he seems to be outscoring himself with the amount of minutes that he's playing recently. So that's kind of scary.
I don't think people realize that he's 19 years old. Just speaking of Zion. 19 years old. Yeah, I still don't think people, and it's probably because he doesn't look like a prototypical 19-year-old. I don't think people know he is 19 years old.
People forget that.
He's
10 games into his career. I'm all for him going to All-Star Weekend and enjoying it.
Of course. Yeah, here we go.
I'm hoping that. No, but I just. They've said that he's not going to be playing back-to-backs. This is a back-to-back. I don't care if it's an exhibition game.
I don't care
about the NBA and their ratings. This is the future. They've said, the medical staff have said, he will not be playing back-to-backs. I don't want him to go into that game and something goofy happen, you know, like what happened when he was playing for the Blue Devils and he burst out of a shoe. That's not going to happen. But just something goofy happen and he shouldn't be playing in the game. He shouldn't be there.
So how does that work? I have to look into it, but who decides that? Does the player decide that? Does the team decide that? Or the NBA decide that?
I think the NBA is surely going to have some sort of influence and go, hey, our cash cow's got to be out there for this Rising Stars game.
And get that. So there's influence, but who's the decision?
The Hornets. The Pels are the ones who are paying him.
You would think so. They're paying him, correct. So you'd think it'd have to be it's their decision. So
that's right.
It is, you know, the prototypical All-Star game, and the Rising Star will be the same. Like, it's not like there's any defense.
There's going to be no defense played in that game at all. Like, the game's going to be 150, 160 points by both teams.
As long as he doesn't hurt himself dunking, I think he'll get through okay. But I agree with what you're saying.
Yeah, that's just me looking at it from a New Orleans point of view that. He's the NBA's cash cow at the moment. Like all of a sudden now New Orleans is on every TV screen and Zion this, Zion that, Zion's dunking, Zion's making layups. It's just like, wow, is that what we're turning the NBA into? Zion making big layups in do you know what I mean? It's just like, look, get out of here with that. When he makes a spectacular play, awesome. But let's not just keep riding his you know what. Yeah. He's making layups under the hoop. Ooh, he's an NBA player. Should be making layups under the hoop. I get it.
Well, speaking of that, then, what about your boy Ingram? Is he going to make the All-Star game?
Well, he's been out. He's been out the last four games now. So, and coming into the All-Star weekend, he didn't play against Oklahoma City. So if he's got another couple of days to get ready, and if the medical staff, again, if to me it comes down to the medical staff. If they were going to say, okay, Brandon, you were going to be ready to play Sunday, even though it's not the All-Star, you know, if it was just the regular season and we're going on and he was next going to be readily available to play Sunday, which is the All-Star game, then play him.
Yeah.
The same thing with Luka Doncic. You know, Doncic has been out for over a week now. He got a run before the All-Star game. So he's had one run now. So he's probably not going to be at 100%, but at least he's had a game to get back into things.
I get it. I get what you're saying. And it's, to me, you're right. It's up to the team. But look, Zion, I would totally protect him in war, not because – I guess because of like he's a cash cow, but because he's just coming back from a big injury. In Brandon Ingram's case, but you know, it's his first All-Star game. He's probably requested this too. You know, it's sort of, you know, what do you sort of do kind of thing.
He'll be there. The problem is going to be, is it going to be a game time decision and who are they going to bring in?
Well, that's right. I don't know. What's interesting to me is if Zion was fully healthy and played this whole year, I mean, you can only go on 10 games. I understand this, but I know the fan voted side. Do you think he would have made the All-Star game in his first year? Fan vote would be like, he'd be top two, top three.
You reckon? Yeah.
In the fan vote, but which is only 50%, but I'm just saying, like, if, you know, say he's fully healthy, he's playing like he's playing now.
He may have.
I feel like he wouldn't have got probably starter, but I think he would have got a bench.
Yeah, he may have.
Well, speaking of those teams, our teams can go out the window because Giannis likes to just clearly likes to pick like defensive monsters.
That's right.
It started to be because I watched it. They had it on TNT Live and all that, so I ended up starting to watch it.
It was not really enthralling TV for me, but I sort of, would sort of zone out while I was watching
Chuck.
That.
Well, Chuck, he said, you're not going to take the dribbler to Giannis. And Giannis said, no, I want someone that's going to pass the ball. So that was pretty hilarious. The starters, after they've done their sort of pick, the Team LeBron, so it's LeBron James, Anthony Davis, Luka Doncic, James Harden and Kawhi Leonard, which is an absolute monster of a side.
That is against insane starting lineup.
Giannis is starting five of Giannis Antetokounmpo. I'm never going to get this right. Antetokounmpo. Oh, I did get it right. Yeah, Joel Embiid, Pascal Siakam, Kemba Walker, and Trae Young. Which is not a bad side. I guess what?
No. It's the end of the bench that's going to be the problem, I think, for Giannis's team.
Well, before we move on to the bench, I still can't work out why Giannis has picked Joel as his second pick. I don't know if he's just going center for center, because I guarantee he wasn't going third with LeBron. I guarantee that was never in his mind to go third.
No.
I don't know, but you're right. On the reserves, we'll start with Giannis's team because he got to pick first. Bam Adebayo, Jimmy Butler, Rudy Gobert, Brandon Ingram, Kyle Lowry, Chris Middleton, and Donovan Mitchell. With the LeBron side, it's Devin Booker, the Joker, Nikola Jokic, Damian Lillard, who's injured, and we'll talk about that in a sec, Chris Paul, Domantas Sabonis, Ben Simmons, Jason Tatum, and Russell Westbrook. We wouldn't say we were close, but in our sides, and
I think our team's better.
I love our teams. I'd love to see those two teams to go against each other. I just don't see Giannis's team winning. I just don't. I don't know.
No. I don't think so. But it could actually be a competitive. It could actually be a competitive All-Star game, with the new format. There's going to be actual defense played in this All-Star game. So hopefully that reigns true, and it might be a little bit closer than what we think. But I think even with the punters, I think a lot of people are jumping on Team LeBron at the moment.
I'll be surprised if they don't make 200. But anyway,
what if they actually play defense?
It's possible they don't even. Although they're going to count it because of the rule changes, especially in their fourth quarter. But actually thinking about that, they're going to have to. They might not actually make 200 this year. Now thinking about it, because the fourth quarter they've got to make 24 points. So there's no way they're actually going to do it anyway.
So that's what you want to tighten up a little bit defensively, because even though each quarter the scores wipe clean, but when the fourth quarter starts, the scores go accumulative. So whatever you've scored still goes into the fourth quarter as being your score.
So Giannis could be, because these rules came out before they did their draft. Giannis could be an absolute genius here and realize, fourth quarter we've got to defend like hell. So. He could be a quiet genius here. With Damian Lillard, fortunately he's injured, so he is being replaced by Mr. Booker from the Phoenix Suns. Not only Devin Booker, but also in the 3-point contest.
In the 3-point contest as well, yeah. So Devin Booker's just replacing him in all facets of All Star Weekend. So he's just slotting straight into the 3-point contest as well on All Star Saturday night. So that'll make things interesting. I would have thought that Damian Lillard, the tear that he's been on, was probably a clear cut favorite to actually win the 3-point contest. That sort of opens it up a little bit now.
It would. I mean, we both didn't like the rule of like doing these 40-foot jumpers to get the 3 points each. But we both picked Damian Lillard and said, well, if they're going to do that, then he's gonna win hands down.
Oh, yeah, he'll own it from there.
I know you don't like it, but it's something different. They'll change it next year. They always do.
Yeah, you're just trying to keep it fresh, I guess. But it is what it is. So we'll roll with it and we'll see. We'll see. I'd actually think that someone like Buddy Hield or someone like that would be a sneaky pick for the 3-point contest winner. So we'll see how that pans out.
Because I have seen him shoot longer. Yeah, Buddy Hield, even a Trey Young. God, he just shoots so.
That's it too. I think he's one of the favorites there, Trey Young. So
he's just a pure shot. Like
it's got unlimited range as well. So
it's ridiculous. It's a Steph Curry shot. Like
it's crazy.
We'll talk about most of the All-Star game next weekend. Or next week, I should say.
They have a decent rest now. Like they have the All-Star break, and then I don't think there's any games until the 21st of February. So everybody sort of gets a layoff after the All-Star break as well. So those guys can, guys that were actually participating in the All-Star game and the All-Star weekend festivities can still have themselves a nice little break after and sort of freshen up a little bit.
And, well, one person that really needs a break, and I don't know if it's just from basketball, is Joel Embiid.
I think...
Here you go. He's
had a really sort of up and down last, say, 10 days since the last time that we came on to air. He's come out at the start of last week and... Yeah, he was sort of criticized after having a poor performance, and he come out in a losing effort against Miami. Miami put like 137 on Philadelphia, but Embiid had like 29 and 12, sorry. And it was everything was all looking good. Okay, he's responded well to a little bit of criticism. He's had a little bit of criticism against himself, and then. There was a game on TNT on their Thursday night games against the Bucks, and Giannis went to town on him. He just picked him out, and he was just going at Embiid the whole game. Like Giannis had like 36 and 20 rebounds. Embiid started off the first half. He was like 1 for 12. He was just clanging everything. Trying to draw fouls and make sort of little sort of weird shots at the start of the telecast. The guys from inside the NBA, Charles Barkley just teed off on Philadelphia and more so sort of Joel Embiid calling them just calling them mentally soft, calling them weak, calling them the Cleveland Browns. They're all talk. They talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk. They're 25-2 at home, but they're 9-19 on the road. They've got the best home record in the NBA, but yet they're 10 games under 500 on the road.
It didn't stop there. At halftime, after his first half struggles, Shaq then went to massive. Same thing, just went to town. And called him a soft with a capital TT. Like he was doing diagrams and everything. Oh my God. I don't know. I think it's justified. He's come out and criticized the team's offensive approach. Under Brett Brown, this is Embiid.
I think there's a little bit of disharmony in the locker room a little bit. Al Horford come out last week and said, we've got some problems in the locker room. Yeah, this is at a press conference. Oh, but we'll keep that internal. And it's like, well, you just kind of made it external by saying that to a bunch of people with cameras and microphones.
But then he also come out and I thought it was Twitter, but it was on Instagram where he's. Put a post about the film The Dark Knight. You either die a hero or live long enough to see yourself become the villain, which is fine because of what he's been going through. But then Mr. Butler pops up and said, we'll take villains here.
I know a place where villains are welcome or something
welcome,
like that.
That was so, it. Oh my god. Yeah. Of what I've read about all
recruitment pitch.
If what I've read about, well, why not? I mean, that would be, you know, Pat Riley wants that. But I mean, where do you put Bam Adebayo? Bam Adebayo is on a tear. Bam Adebayo will be part of
the deal.
Well, I'm telling you now, Bam Adebayo will be one of the most dominant setters in the next few years. That guy is ridiculous.
He's so athletic. He is that actual true center.
But
he's got handles. That's what I mean. He's a young Shaq. He's got handles. He runs the floor.
So if he's gonna be part of, so are you saying, because this is what I was about to sort of say, keep hearing. So are you saying that, of what I've read, Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, they keep saying in the locker room that they're the stars, not that one's the other or anything like that, but they're the stars of the team. And there's discontent. Not they don't like each other, but there's discontent that who's the superstar on the side.
Yeah.
You've 100% said, like, Joel Embiid, when healthy, is definitely a better player than Ben Simmons, but he's probably a top five player.
I think he can build better around Joel Embiid. He's got more of a skill set than what Ben Simmons does. And like we said before, that's the conundrum. But I think that's the only way that Philadelphia does this deal is if it's inclusive of Bam Adebayo.
Man, that would be so. Both ways, that would be great.
Yeah,
you know, Bam and Ben Simmons will be awesome. If it's probably a straight swap, I don't know the contracts.
But then, once again, it comes into a spacing issue because, you know, Bam Adebayo doesn't stretch the floor by any means. Yeah, he's a better rim runner than what Joel Embiid's not a rim runner at all. You know, like in the mold of a Clint Capella or somebody like that. You know what I mean? So you can open up a little bit like that. But he's not. That's what I mean. Bam's not a floor spacer. So what? Yeah. That's the problem. That's the sort of problem that they think that they're having there is and Joel Embiid shoots the three admirably. Admirably.
You got close enough.
Yeah, you've got to play defense on him. Like, you can't just let him have open threes. Like, he hasn't been that great this year. You know, I think his 3-point percentage has dropped off a little bit this year, but you can't leave him open. He's like Jokic. You can't leave him open. You can't just stand there.
Oh, but Jokic, yeah. You're right. You can't leave Jokic. Even if you leave, even if you're on Jokic, man, that guy can pass the ball.
That's right. He's a
5-foot point guard in a 7-foot, you know, center's body. Right. He's got his handles, but with Embiid, I don't. If they don't have the season that everyone wants them to have and they're supposed to have and to make them the finals, I think, unfortunately, Brett Brown's gone. I'll be very surprised if Brett Brown goes past this season. I still can't – this is where you were saying about spacing the floor. This is why I couldn't fathom why they picked up Al Horford on the free agency. No. I still could not work that out when it was about – 500 power forwards that New York Knicks signed that they could have picked up at least one of them, like a Marcus Morris or something. Not for so much money. There's nowhere near Al Horford, but Al Horford and Joel Embiid can't play in the four together.
No, they just can't. That's what I mean. But Horford now is sort of morphed. He's a center now. Like, you know, he's not a traditional four anymore. Like he is, you know, in an NBA of 5 years ago, like even when he was playing at Atlanta, when they were on their tear, and they had guys like Kyle Korver and Jeff Teague, and the player who was the lefty, was it Josh Smith? It was their all star. He played for Houston. He played for Houston. Yeah, and now all of a sudden he's gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not even in the league anymore. Like, he had a run.
Oh,
with Houston.
Josh Smith.
Bit.
Yeah. Wow. That's a name I've never heard.
He would have been playing the four, and Al Horford would have been playing the center. So he's a center. Al Horford is a center. He's not a four anymore. He's not a power forward anymore.
And that's what I mean. That's what I'm getting at. Like, they don't. And Joel is not a power forward either. Like, they don't have a true power.
Oh no, God no.
So I don't. I don't know what happens with the Philadelphia 76ers. We all got on the bandwagon that they're going to make the finals this year and pretty easily and probably disrupt the Bucks. But, yeah, I don't see that happening.
They're the team with the most potential to get there. And I don't think too many people had Toronto doing what they were doing this year. You know, they've just won 15 straight and only been knocked off by the Nets. It was yesterday or the day before I got knocked off by the Nets. That was in Brooklyn. So, you know, their 15 game win streak. They're second in the East. Toronto is, I think, it's just super surprised everybody.
They have. And they have super surprised everybody.
Philadelphia, I think, super surprised everybody with you know, their Jekyll and Hyde, you know, being so great in Philly, but just being absolutely horrible on the road.
On the road, yeah. I'll be surprised. I'd love to see what's going to happen with the off season with them. I'll be very surprised if Brett Brown stays there. Do you think they're going to, like, the whole processing? I don't ever see him trading away Joel Embiid
or
Ben Simmons. Oh, I get that. There's discontent, but yeah. We'll just have to.
The problem is going to be if they do sack Brett Brown. Like, what? Where else? What are you looking for? Yeah, the Knicks are looking for a head coach.
I don't know.
If Houston don't make, you know, some sort of significant dent in the, you know, in the playoffs, is D'Antoni gone? That means Houston's going to be looking for a head coaching job.
Well,
I get it that the Lakers and the Clippers have got, you know, guys on their benches, both teams that have been former head coaches. Yeah, you know, Jason Kidd, Lionel Hollins. Guys like that, you know, are those guys' names coming up?
Yeah. I always thought when and he'd probably be good there, actually. I always thought Tyronn Lue would be pretty good there in Philadelphia 76ers, because he's used to having that, you know, I guess that dominant star and, you know, working around the pieces around him kind of thing, you know, in LeBron James at the Cavs. So
two of them.
Yeah, well, that's the thing he's got to figure out first, I guess. So.
Oh, yeah, that's
right. Well, that'll do it, leading up to sort of the All-Star weekend. We don't really need to we'll touch on all the All-Star weekend. I don't know if you'll...
Yeah,
we'll see the Rising Stars game. I don't think we'll definitely... Well, I won't be watching a celebrity game. I won't see the shorts of it. That's about it.
Yeah,
well, they Stephen A's coaching. Stephen A is coaching.
Yeah, Stephen A. Smith's on one and side Wilbon. And Michael Wilbon's on the other. So, Stephen A. They've been trash talking each other all week, him and Wilbon. So, that'll be interesting to sort of see how that goes. Smith's got like one of the shortest teams in history. I don't think anyone's over like 5'5 on his team except for like Common, I think. So, yeah, and there's a lot of celebrities that I sort of don't know who they are, so that maybe that's just me.
There's past players in there.
Q Rich and Darius Miles. So that'll be good to see those two.
Then generally the night after though is the skills challenge, the 3-point contest, and the slam dunk contest.
Saturday night,
which is Sunday here, just Australian time,
morning.
Yeah, well, and Monday is the All-Star game for Australia, which is a Sunday in the US. So watch it. It's always a great weekend, fun weekend to watch. Although, you know, if you're into defense, probably don't really watch the game.
Yeah, if you like the Pistons of the late 80s, early 90s, then don't tune in.
imagine a prime Dennis Rodman in this All-Star game.
Oh my God, he'd be the only one out there playing defense. It'd be great.
and he would make a point of it too.
He wouldn't care.
A prime Dennis Rodman, a prime Scottie Pippen,
a prime Ben Wallace.
A prime Charles Barkley. My God. No one would get the ball.
a prime Shaq. A prime Dikembe Mutombo.
Oh, my God. Yeah, well. Actually, one of them never done that, like an NBA. Like, they do the celebrity, but an NBA Legends game, like an East versus West. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, that'd be good. You'd have to, you wouldn't be able to get sort of like they done with the the Big Bash and the celebrity the bushfire appeal game where you can sort of still go out there and like that. Yeah, that could be. Could you imagine someone like Hakeem Olajuwon or Mutombo running up and down the floor? I think that'd be. Yeah, I don't think that'd look very very appealing.
Well, there's rumors that there's possibly going to be a Chicago player in the celebrity game. An ex-Chicago, well, I was going to say ex, like a former Chicago player. So, I know who it is, but I'll leave it till next week. It's not who you think it is.
Until it comes to fruition.
Oh, yeah, until it comes to fruition. Well, that'll do it this week. Don't forget to follow us on all the socials, SoundCloud, Facebook, and Twitter, which is at the final. No, it's not even that. It's Final Play Pod. At Final Play Pod. Play my Pod, God.
At Final Play Pod.
Jesus Christ. I don't even know why I threw that in there. My name's Jason. Can't say my word, Smith.
Yes, yeah. Can't yet. I'm Miles Antetokounmpo Plum. But I actually can say it, so.
Yeah, Jason needs to stop drinking during podcast, Smith.
Yeah, exactly. Otherwise, you just get it. Giannis
Antetokounmpo. I said it. There you go.
Maybe you need to have more.
Maybe I need. Yeah, that's what I'm gonna say. He needs some. Oh, if I had Antetokounmpo, no, I'm gonna stop.
No, you just ruined it. Beer.
Oh yeah. No. Okay, I'm stopping it. Have a good week, everyone.
No more Greek beers.
See ya.
See ya.